I'll start by saying I'm extremely grateful that during crazy times like we have right now, that we have elders such as Ryan, Justin, John, in a different situation, in a different context. The last 24 hours would have been difficult for a church to handle. But in our case, it was not. You have godly men that are at the helm, and I'm thankful for you guys, and grateful that I get to serve with you. And we would covet your prayers, because the decisions that we talk about are not stuff that we, read. Okay, there's not COVID-19 related text in here. I mean, at least the words aren't here. I mean, obviously, we can find principles, but we don't have an outline for how to handle a pandemic. And so I'm also grateful that we are in a church in which we will not allow the decisions that are going around with this to divide us. There has been absolutely zero back talk. There's not been one angst in that we have known of, and I'm grateful for you, North Hills, for that, for showing grace during this time. So ask that you continue to show grace, please. This is not a call for you to stop showing grace. This is thankful that you have, and asking you to continue. And in fact, we'll see today, do not grow weary in showing grace. So this morning, this text actually, usually we plan out when I'm going to get to preach, and so I get certain types of texts sometimes. But this one's great. This one is, this is not Jephthah's daughter or Noah's nakedness. This is great stuff. This is good. And so this morning is actually a very, like, it is very pointed in encouragement. That's why it's here. That's what it's meant to do. And so encouragement comes in a lot of different forms. Sometimes we tell our kids, don't do this so that this doesn't happen. So, don't touch the hot plate because it'll burn your hand. Or don't do this so that something will happen. So don't eat that so that you'll be healthy. Or whatever. That may be an encouragement for you in the next few days. I'm just throwing it out there. But this morning, we will see a very pointed encouragement. And today's text is kind of, you're still here. I'm looking around. There's nobody that's not here that's here. Okay? You're still here. And if you're watching, you're still here on this earth. So let's keep going. Let's read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to back up to 1 to make sure we get it. But therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggles against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. This passage, this chapter 12, if I don't know how you could forget, but chapter 11 was all about faith, the entire thing. But chapter 12 picks up this theme of endurance. And it's actually what he began in chapter 10. So if you go turn a page back to the end of chapter 10, in verse 32, it says, "But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hardship, struggle with suffering, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have had need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But by my righteousness, one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and persevere, preserve their souls." And so then he takes the opportunity to hammer home faith. And we hammered it home for months. We hit faith, and we talked about faith. And faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We hammered it home. That's what this passage did, was in the whole chapter. He hammered home faith, but he started by talking about the hardships in which they had endured. And he talked about how they had already endured those. There's been some things in their past, some things that have happened. Some of them were in prison. They had been plundered. They had been taken. Stuff had been taken from them. And they endured it all because they knew they had a better possession. They knew that they had Christ. And that was the theme. And then they talked about that was their faith. And then he took chapter 11 to flesh out faith of all of those that had gone before them, and they looked, keep the faith. The ones that had gone before you have had this faith. You have this faith. It has been entrusted to you. We get to chapter 12, and he says, okay, since we have been surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, endure. We saw at the end of verse 2 last week that Christ was seated at the right hand of the Father. We have in Hebrews had the opportunity to see Jesus as prophet, Jesus as priest, and we even see him here seated as king. He is prophet, priest, and king. We have no need for another. We don't need another prophet to come along and tell us more. We have Christ. We don't have a need to have a priest to be the mediator for us between us and God because we have Christ. We have no need for another ruler because we have Christ as king. That is the truth, and that is what was pointed out at the end of verse 2. And then it says, "Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility." Jesus, who was innocent, received everything from guilty. Like everything that he got on earth, everything that was done to him was from people who were guilty. We just mentioned that there is in our world a sickness that always leads to death. It is sin, and there is not a person on the planet that is immune to it. There is one cure. Only one. Like we can't just work on the symptoms. We can't just make you feel better for a little while. There's no medicine over the counter for this sickness. There is one cure, and it is a complete, works 100% of the time cure, and that is Jesus Christ. And those people who were sick in their sin were the ones giving hostility to Christ. And it says in verse 3, "Consider him and all that he did for us and all that he endured from sinners, so that you may not grow weary." Well, it's easy to grow weary. There is not a day in my life where at least some point in the day, I'm like, if there was a towel, I would throw it. I'm grateful there's not a towel around me all the time so I can throw it in, or a ring for me to throw it into. But this word, consider, is not just like, hey, won't you think about this? It is, the writer here is using an emphatic imperative. It is like, you can't move without considering this. You have to consider this. This is a mandatory, like you have to do this. Consider what Christ has gone through. Look at what Christ has done for you. For those of us that are believers, we know that to be true. Like, it's not something that we have to debate. Like, we understand. We need to remember and consider what Christ has done for us, and we love what Christ has done for us. It's not like we're not having theological arguments about, well, is what Christ did for us good? No, there's not people sitting around tables arguing about what Christ did for us wasn't that good. No, we all would agree what Christ has done for us is worthy to be praised, is worthy to be considered, and it is worthy to be looked to. However, we don't. Like, we go through our lives and we know this to be true. We understand that Christ has done this for us, but in many cases, we get in the middle of our lives and we look at the circumstance of our lives instead of the Christ who has saved us from that. In chapter 10, we saw that the writer of Hebrews was praising these people for enduring. You've seen people go to jail. You've had your stuff plundered, and you look to Christ. Keep on enduring. You've done it. Here he is reminding them again, do not grow weary. Christian, it is not time to put the towel down. It is not time to throw it in. It is not time for us to just kick back, relax, and say it's done. I'm too give out. I'm too worried. I'm too consumed with what's going on. I'm too whatever. I'm done. That is not us. In fact, in verse 4, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Like, it's kind of funny to me how he words this. You know, he's like, you haven't struggled with your sin to the point where you're bleeding. But what he is referencing here is not only the fact that they have seen people shed their blood for their faith. Because we just read an entire chapter and some of those people were killed. They were cut in half. These people shed their blood because they had faith. We also know that they are considering Christ, who died so that they would not have to die a death to sin. They understood that blood was a thing. They understood death. You and I understand it. We're concerned about it. We should be. We have loved ones. We prayed for Miss Mita this morning in the hospital, who is better, but at one point was considering, you know, on the point of being in a bed ready to die. We have prayed for others in our congregation that have been to that point. We have prayed for those families who have lost loved ones, and that will not cease. Until the Lord comes back, death is going to be a real thing. But the Lord has not chosen to this point to take you. I said when we got here, you're here. There's nobody that's not here that's here. There's nobody that's not watching that's watching. We have not yet shed blood. We have not yet died. So resist sin. When can you stop? When can you throw in the towel? The day the Lord calls you home. All right? That's it. There you go. I mean, I could have just said that and we could have gone home. Some of you are like, amen. Could have. I'm kind of with you. But the Lord has not taken you away. The Lord is still your Lord. He is still your King. He is still your prophet. He is still your priest. And if that is the case, then we must not grow weary. We must look to Him. Consider, emphatically, imperatively, we will consider the Christ who endured all. From the guilty, He endured all. So we cannot, we should not grow weary. But if that wasn't enough for us to consider, he adds one more piece. He says, have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? And then he quotes a proverb, Proverbs 3. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. If remembering the sacrifice of Christ wasn't enough for you, he says, look, have you forgotten that he has not called you child? We're not sitting around arguing about what Christ has done for us, but we do differ in how we respond. We do differ in what Christ's sacrifice has done in our lives. But he calls all of us sons and daughters. Fight sin, O son of God. Fight sin, O daughter of God. Oh, you feel like you're being disciplined by God? Good. That's what the Bible says. You feel like you're being under his thumb? You feel like he's pressing in? That's good. That's what he does to his sons and daughters. Next week, we will dive deep into discipline. He moves from endurance to discipline. But today, he is calling you son. He is calling you daughter. Look to him who calls you child. We are loved by God, so finish the fight. Finish the race that has been set before us. And why? Because a long time ago, and many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he spoke to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the power of his hand. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become a much superior to the angels, as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. And for those that he made that purification of sin for, he calls them sons and daughters. Christians, don't grow weary. When the day comes that you feel like throwing in the towel, look to Christ who has saved you. Remember that he has called you son. Remember that he has called you daughter. For those that have not come to faith, look to Christ. He is the only cure for the sickness of sin. This world has no other remedy. Let's pray. Father, your encouragement for me is ever timely. In this world, it's been rather easy to want to throw my hands up and just call it a day. Father, I have not yet endured to the point of shedding my blood, and so I will look to you. I'm asking that you will continue to sustain, that you will continue to lead your people, that you will continually remind them of what you have done, who you are, and that you are our King. Father, may you give us the opportunity to share that with a lost and dying world that is incapable of knowing anything else apart from your Spirit moving in their lives. Father, as we come around the communion table this morning, it is the reminder that you shed your blood, that you broke your body for us. May that be the encouragement this morning. May your people not grow weary. It's in your Son's name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.